Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place and this episode of Fire and Desire. Grateful to God for all that He's done, all that He's doing. Grateful for the other host, Prophet Vini. Grateful to God for him, for all that. As much as he pours into you all, he pours into me as well. So I'm just grateful for this opportunity that we can go in, share with you that which the Lord has laid on his heart, and in the midst of it all, become better kingdom citizens and truly empowered on this day. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Prophet, I'm going to turn it over to you, and we'll go as you lead. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, bless the Lord, and I thank God for this day, this opportunity, and certainly it is always a privilege to be able to speak into the lives of you know, God's beloved people. Don't take it for granted, of course, and certainly I thank God for you, Prophet, this valley, and all God is doing in and through your life. I celebrate you tonight, and as always, I want to, you know, go on record as saying how much I esteem you in the Lord and thank God for this collaboration and the synergy that we share in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You know, of course, last week, Prophet, as we were talking about some things pertaining to the will of God, I think that one of the objectives was trying to give a definition of what is the will of God. And we discussed that, you know, the will of God is what God requires of me. It is my contribution to the plan of God. So the will of God is going to boil down to be a corresponding action. It's an action that's going to correspond with the move of God, with the word of God, what God wants to accomplish in and through my life. And so because we believe that nothing just happens, we're convinced that if we are not active in the will of God, then we can cause the plan of God to be in a stalemate type situation. Amen?
Amen.
And certainly that's not what we want. We want the plan of God to evolve. When we are active in the will of God, we're accomplishing, satisfied the requirement of the will of God, it causes the plan of God to evolve. And then the next stage, in the next setting, the next scenario, the next provision is staged and set up for us. I think a lot of times we have not satisfied a particular requirement of the will of God, and so we have actually caused the plan of God to be in stalemate, meaning that there's no movement.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you'll find that you'll get quick results once you satisfy the requirement of the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So tonight I want to continue on, you know, kind of talking again about the will of God. Tonight I want to talk about obedience and the will of God. I want to take another look at obedience and how that is going to play in the will of God. And I want to begin in Genesis chapter 6 tonight. And let's take a look at the life of Noah. Let's pull a chapter from Noah's life and look at it and kind of lay a foundation for talking about obedience and the will of God. Prophetess, would you read that for us? Genesis chapter 6, read for us verses 9 through 22.
Yeah, let me get there.
Amen. I'm sorry, I should have given you that earlier. Genesis chapter 6, mm-hmm. verses 9 through 22. Again, we're going to talk about obedience and the will of God. The will of God, again, being our contribution to the plan of God. What God is requiring of me, what He needs me to do in order to see the plan of God evolve and ultimately see the plan of God fulfilled in our life.
Amen. I'm going to read this from the King James Version, starting at verse 9. It says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was just a man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set on the side thereof. With lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after every kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all of the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he.
Amen, amen. So I want to talk about obedience tonight. And so one of the things that we need to understand about obedience is that obedience is more than living a morally pure life. I think sometimes, you know, in our immaturity, we perceive obedience as, you know, I'm living a morally pure life. I'm walking upright before God. I'm, you know, keeping myself sanctified and holy and things like that. And so I've satisfied the requirement of obedience. Well, that is not totally true.
Amen.
Amen. Because obedience goes beyond that. Obedience also includes living life according to the plan of God. Amen. When the Bible talks about he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly before him,
mm-hmm.
you cannot satisfy the requirement of that scripture if, in fact, your life is not aligned and not lived according to his plan.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You can't even begin to satisfy the requirement of that scripture. Amen. And so when we look at Noah, the first thing that jumps out at us in this particular text, it says Noah walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that we have to consider is the fact that Noah walked with God through all the challenges of his everyday life. Amen?
Amen.
He had to make choices that would keep him in position to do the will of God. Okay, and so when you talk about walking with God, you're walking with God through the challenges and the adversity and the trials and the tribulations of everyday life. You're walking with God, which indicates that, you know, in the face of adversity, and when you're challenged, and, you know, when things are challenging and when things are, you know, don't seem to be going your way, you make choices that will not move you out of the will of God, but
right.
will keep you in the will of God. Amen. And this is important for us to be able to do. Okay. So Noah had to make choices that would keep him in position to do the will of God. He had to stay on course with the plan of God and not get distracted by what everyone else was doing.
Mm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was in Noah's day, so it is in our day. Amen. And one of the things that people are trying to do is to maintain life.
Yeah.
And that's going to be difficult. It's going to be very difficult for you to maintain a status quo in your life, amen, and still satisfy the requirements of the will of God and even fulfill your purpose. Amen?
Yes.
Purpose and the kingdom of God demand transition and change. And when you talk about transition and when you talk about change, you're talking about giving up and walking away from and letting go some things that are part of that status quo of your life.
Yes.
Amen. And so if we're going to be obedient to the will of God, we've got to make choices now that is going to keep us in line with the plan of God. Amen. We've got to make sure we stay focused on being obedient to the will of God. Amen. And so this is going to keep us in line and in position for the plan of God. So ultimately, my initial point here is to get everybody to see obedience goes beyond just living a morally pure life. There's a lot of people who are going to somewhat live life like the man who was given the one talent.
Mm-hmm.
This man thought he had done well. He had maintained what God gave him, or what the master had given him. And this is to a large degree a lot of people's approach in life. If I just maintain what I start out with,
mm-hmm.
You know, God gave me this life, and if I live it right, then God's going to be satisfied with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be commended. But that's the case. Because God expects you to have impact. He expects you to multiply and increase what he's given you.
Amen.
Amen. So just to, you know, lock yourself in and lock yourself down and hide from anything that might taint you or try to keep yourself from anything that might bring a bad reputation and do the will of God, you are disobedient.
Yeah.
Because you're not moving in and to get into position to fulfill the very plan of God and the purpose of God for your life. And so you're not going to be commended by God. Just because you lived your life and in a way that you kept yourself morally pure,
yeah,
but yet had no impact, never fulfilled a purpose. You know, you should not even, you know, if you know the character of God, you should not expect to be commended by God
right.
just because you did that.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's good, but that's not right.
That's not right.
That's not right. God expects more of you. He expects more from you than just to keep yourself. Amen. He's going to keep you.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, I can keep you from falling. God has the grace and the power to preserve us and to keep us from falling. And so I can't live my life in such a way. I think that some people are actually afraid of sin.
Yeah.
They're afraid of sin. They're afraid of sinning. Now, you know, I want to make sure I say this right. And what I'm speaking of here, you know, people afraid of sinning, will live their life in such a way that they will separate themselves from anything that even looks like sin.
Yes. Yes.
But in doing so, they live non-productive lives.
Right, because they won't take chances.
Exactly. Won't take any risks whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, God is not afraid of sin. He's not going to sin, but he's not afraid of it. Because if he were ever afraid of it, he would have never sent Jesus right in the midst of it.
Absolutely.
If he was taking that approach of I'm holy, I can't get involved in stuff like that, well, why would he send us right in the middle of it?
Yeah.
If that was his character, if that was the approach he took and wanted us to take toward these sorts of things, so we got a lot of people. We need to rethink some things, you know. You know, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach this gospel.
Yes.
You can't even begin to fulfill the requirements of that scripture if you're just afraid, you know, your priority is just to keep yourself pure.
Yeah.
And that's what's ultimately your objective and your goal in life is just to keep yourself pure so you can present yourself before God holy and blameless. He says, I'm able to present you faultless and blameless. God's going to do that, which means that I've got to be able to let myself, you know, take some risks and let myself go in the will of God to fulfill what God has purposed and ordained for my life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, we can't be overly concerned about, you know, falling into sin to the point that we fail to allow ourselves to move into position to fulfill the mandate of God. Amen. Now, certainly, Prophet Valor, I don't want to leave this point without adding the fact that, you know, that you have to use wisdom with what I'm talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you know, if there's a certain environment that God delivers you from, you know, you want to be very careful about being in that environment. If there's a certain vice or a certain sin that was, you know, your thing before you got delivered, then you have to use wisdom when it comes to associating and being around people who are still involved in that type of lifestyle. And I'm not talking about setting yourself up, but I'm talking about being in a position where God can use you. Amen?
Yeah. And you have to be careful what you say, Prophet.
Amen.
You have to be careful what you say, because in any of those things, you know, you may keep yourself away from the environment, but when you begin to put words out in the atmosphere, that environment will sometimes find you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So, you know, when you start speaking about, wow, if so-and-so were to show up, oh, man, I remember when this and that and that and this, and you put it all out there.
Amen.
then you know your phone ringing, the doorbell ringing, you see them at the grocery store, at the gas station, and you be like, I've not seen them in forever. How they just pop up?
Right, exactly. You're rehearsing it in
it.
Your mind
exactly.
Anyhow. Amen,
yes.
Amen,
yes.
Amen. So that's very true. Amen. But, you know, we got to, in order to fulfill the requirements of the will of God, we got to be able to get into position to do it.
Yes.
Amen. We got to be able to allow ourselves to move and transition into the position from which we can actually fulfill the mandate and the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So anything that we allow that moves us out of position to do the will of God and to fulfill the purpose of God must be looked upon as disobedience. Anything we allow that moves us out of position, or anything we allow that causes us not to move into position to do the will of God and to fulfill the purpose of God, that must be looked upon as disobedience. Any scenario that we've allowed that's kept us out of position or keeps us from moving into position,
yes,
that must be looked upon as disobedience.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Failure to change, shift, turn, adapt, adjust, or even transform in order to be in position to do the will of God and to fulfill the purpose of God should also be considered disobedience. Amen?
Mm.
I'll say it again. Failure to change, shift. These are all terms that go along with transition.
Yes.
Change, shift, turn, adapt, adjust, or even transform in order to be in position to do the will of God and to fulfill the purpose of God should be considered disobedience.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the word transform that I included in this. If I fail to transform, amen, that's a level of maturity that God expects me to be at an appointed time. There are transitions and cycles that we've got to complete at an appointed time. What I've learned, prophetess, is God tends to deal with us based upon what he expects of us, more so than he deals with us at the level where we really are. In other words, God would deal with me based on the level he expects me to be at right now.
Amen.
Not necessarily, he doesn't necessarily deal with me. I might not be where I'm supposed to be, but that's the way he's going to deal with me.
Right. Right.
Amen? And that's why a lot of times we feel the stretching, we feel the pulling, because we're not on schedule with the timetable of God as far as the level of maturity or growth or development.
Wow.
A lot of times we say, I'm being stressed, I feel like I'm being pulled. The reason is, he's trying to pick up the pace, because now he deals with us where he expects us to be, not necessarily where we are. Amen.
Mm.
And so, you know, by him doing that, and if I am not on schedule, and I am not at the level of maturity that he expected me, now God is just now, and he's basing his expectations on what has been imparted to you and what has been invested in you. Based upon what he has invested in you, revealed to you, and all these things, based upon what he's poured into you through, you know, servants of God, he expects you to be at a certain level.
Wow.
And he's going to be at that level. And again, if we're not there yet, we feel the pull. We feel the push.
Mm.
And, you know, we start saying, I feel like I'm being stretched now.
Yeah.
Why? He's trying to get you to catch up.
Mm.
He says, you know, I'm ready to release some things that are going to overwhelm you if you're trying to deal with them at that level that you are.
Wow.
If you're trying to deal with this, you're trying to accomplish this at that current level where you're sitting right now, you're going to get overwhelmed. So I'm trying to push you, and I'm trying to stretch you to this level where I expect you to be. Amen?
Amen.
So you know, this should be considered to be this when we have a transformed, you know, to where we need to be. We have a change, we have a developed. And the transformation speaks to development and you know, development and maturing and things of that nature. You know, it speaks to all of that. And so, you know, we need to have transformed in order to be in position to do the will of God.
Yeah.
And if we're not there, we should consider that disobedience.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So obedience and the will of God, you know, when you talk about the will of God, you're talking about another dimension of obedience. You're not just talking about walking holy, living a morally pure life. You're talking about now I've gone beyond that, all right? I've gone beyond that. I'm not forsaking that. I'm not taking that for granted. I'm striving to still walk uprightly before God and live a morally pure life, you know. But even greater than that, there's another expectation in addition to that, that I'm going to fulfill the plan in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't, it's going to be because of disobedience. God is going to consider that disobedience.
Amen.
And I'm not going to be commended. I'm not going to, like the old saints of God used to say, you're going to wear a royal robe and a royal gold crown. How are you going to get one if you didn't do anything?
Yeah, yeah.
Crowns are for the people who overcome and overcame. You know, then we cast them at Jesus' feet. Robes, royal robes are for the victors.
Yes, yes.
Not the people that the devil beat up.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
Not the people who just made it to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, crowns and royal robes and things of commendation. You know, you don't see the guy that got knocked out walk out of the ring with the gold belt.
No.
He walks out empty-handed.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, he might be glad that he was in the ring, and that's all good. You know, the Bible tells us, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A kingdom citizens, and, you know, don't just stop there. That's a greater requirement when you talk about kingdom.
Yeah.
Kingdom citizens and ambassadors of the kingdom is expected of us to do much more and to accomplish much more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
When you said that, I thought about the fact that when you are busy and in the process of doing those things that God has called you to do, you're working according to your purpose. When you talk about that stretch, you have to know, too, that when God is stretching you and causing you to be in that transformative state, that when you begin to get it done, that when an assignment is given to you and you get it done and you get it done with excellence to please God, then there's going to be another demand on you because now people are watching.
Amen. Absolutely.
They're watching and they're observing and they're saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you've got to be careful even in that because often people will try to spot you out, not to appreciate you, but to destroy you.
Amen.
So you've got to know that even when God is doing the stretching and the transforming and you're understanding your purpose, that you still don't get connected with another bad element that's
Amen.
Appearing to be righteous before God.
Exactly.
That's
good point.
Beautiful. Amen.
Amen. Very good point. You know, I think that we were talking about this in class a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I was stating it this way. You have to manage everything that wants to interact with your life. You got to discern. The motive, and if in fact this is synergy, or
yeah.
is it just something from the other tree in the garden that wants to disrupt synergy? Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to discern now.
Yep.
What's the source of this? You know, is this sometimes you know synergy wants to happen and it presents itself even as an interruption, and
yeah.
so you've got to be discerning because mm-hmm. if you're not discerning, you could miss it. And it is divine synergy.
Yeah.
Or if you're not discerning on the flip side of that, you could interact with something that is has been influenced by the enemy.
Yes.
And the purpose of that is to sabotage the plan of God.
Absolutely.
It's to disrupt the synergy and to disrupt the things you have working for you.
Amen.
So we have to be very discerning.
Yeah.
You know, some time ago the Lord told me this, and I was looking over some old notes, and I was just reading it this a couple of days ago. The Lord said, be careful of people who will try to prey on your success.
Amen.
They will attempt to prey on your success. They only show up when they see you moving forward and advancing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you got to be careful of these folks because they show up now and they appear only when they see signs of you moving forward and advancing. And you know, you're successful now, and they'll try to prey on your success. And a lot of times what happens is these people are drawing you away because they'll come with all these ideals.
Yeah.
They come with these great ideas that would disrupt the very plan of God for your life, that would take you in a totally different direction than what God's purpose in the day. Amen. But be careful of people who want to catch a ride on your success. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So that goes along with the next statement that I'm going to make, prophetess, which is this: each level of blessing that God brings us into must be managed, and our relationship with God must not be negatively impacted by any new thing that is introduced into our lives.
Amen.
I'll say that again. Each level of blessing, and that's inclusive of, you know, new things that God is using us to do. You know, greater doors that have opened and opportunities and, you know, even material blessings, you know. Each level of blessing God brings us into, it must be managed. And our relationship with God must not be negatively impacted by any new thing that is introduced into our lives.
Amen.
We have to manage everything God does in and through us. We have to prove our obedience by successfully managing everything God brings us into and everything he does in and through our life. I want to say that again. We have to prove our obedience by successfully managing everything God brings us into and everything he does in and through our life. Now, a great example of this is, of course, in Genesis 22, when God has blessed Abraham with a son named Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something he's always wanted. He's always wanted a son, and now he has a son, and so he's going to have to prove his obedience here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, you got this now. Can you still do the will of God if, in fact, that is placed in jeopardy? You know, a lot of people are wanting things, you know, wanting husbands, wanting wives, wanting relationships, wanting material things, but. Have you proven that you're going to be able to still do the will of God if that's released into your life?
Yeah.
Can you manage that?
Amen.
You know, a lot of people want things that they won't be able to manage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're struggling now. You're struggling as it is to do the will of God.
Yeah.
If God release a husband, release a wife into your life right now, then what impact is that going to have on your relationship with God?
Yes, yes.
You know? What impact is that going to have? You know, if you get the job that you really want right now, you know, you're already struggling because, you know, you're not balancing, you're not managing that right now, which you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The impact is something greater that comes with greater responsibility and greater, you know, expectation. What impact is that going to have on your relationship with God? Is it going to have a negative impact?
Yeah.
If that's the case, maybe that's the reason why it hasn't been released yet.
Wow.
Amen. Because now what has to happen now is I've got to mature to the level that God expects of me so that I am in a position now to manage that. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to mature. I've got to get myself in position, you know, spiritually and even mentally. And have my perspectives in order, have my priorities in order, and all this sort of thing, so that none of these things will have a negative impact on, you know, my relationship with God or my ability to accomplish and do the will of God. In Deuteronomy 8, God spoke in several instances, actually, throughout the Old Testament. God would tell the people, but especially Deuteronomy 8, he says, now, after you now bless you and you, you know, your houses are well and everything's going well for you, he said, now, don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget now what I brought you through, because, you know, he's basically saying now that there's some things that you should have learned in the process of what I brought you through.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't forget now. You know, in your season of prosperity, there's no time to forget why God did all this to start with.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
One of the things that I try to remind myself of constantly, Prophet Salary, and I try to remind myself constantly the fact that when things are working for me, when things are going well and the plan of God is evolving and I'm moving and that synergy and all these things that God talks to us about are really happening in my life, I try to remind myself of the role that I played and the steps that I took and the moves that I made that was a contribution to get these things happening.
Amen.
And the reason that I do that is because now if I stop doing it, it will cause what's happening to stop.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
If I forget now what God required of me,
yeah.
If I forget now what the will of God required me to do, I can short circuit the movement of God in my life.
Yeah.
Amen. Watch this. I give you another analogy. I give you another example of that. In Matthew 14, very familiar account. Jesus comes walking on the water to the disciples. Mm-hmm. Peter speaks up, said, "Lord, if it be you, mm-hmm. command me to come out on the water to you." And Jesus said, "Come."
Yeah.
That's the instruction. Come.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, between the time, from the point in time that Peter steps out of that boat and walks on the water, all right, until the point that he began to sink, the instruction did not change.
It did not change. Come.
It did not change. Okay?
Yeah.
Which means now, prophetess, if you keep on coming, you'll keep on walking.
Absolutely.
Now, I used to explain it this way, you know, to the natural mind so that people can comprehend it. You know, if you're a swimmer, you know for a fact that if you stop swimming, you sink.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when they teach you to swim, you're out there, you know, they tell you, keep swimming. You know, you start going down the hill. Don't stop stroking. Keep swimming.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop swimming, you sink.
Yeah.
Same thing with Peter. Peter, if you stop coming, you sink.
Yeah. Wow.
So the instruction didn't change. What happened? Peter stopped doing what he was told to do.
Yeah.
He let adversity, he let the circumstances
yes.
that he was seeing
yes.
cause him to stop.
Amen.
Amen. And that caused the move of God to shut down and cease right there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we got to understand, you know, we got to understand what I did, what my contribution was in getting this thing moving to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to keep on doing that. I got to persist in that in spite of the winds and the stormy winds and the waves and the adversity, and all, I've got to keep on doing it until the instruction changes.
Yeah. And
amen.
If God's instructions, he's not going to change them.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's not going to
amen.
Change them. Yeah.
So another thing that we've got in order to do the will of God, in order to, you know, be you know, more skilled when it comes to being able to carry out the will of God, you've got to be able to manage adversity.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to manage adversity. Amen. Peter did fine until he got caught up into the winds and the waves.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I preached a message a couple months ago talking about things that you need to leverage with your faith. You know, if you leverage patience with your faith, you'll do better.
Amen.
Some people step out on faith alone. And it takes longer than they expected. You know?
Yeah.
And so because there's no patience leverage with your faith, you sink.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? You gotta leverage endurance with your faith. Because, you know, when you step out in faith
mm-hmm.
and the wind starts blowing and
mm-hmm.
adversity comes and the unexpected happens, you gotta have some staying power.
Yeah, you gotta be able to stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta have some staying power. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the Bible talks about through faith and patience we inherit the promise. The Bible says you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you can receive the promise.
Amen.
So there are things that we have to leverage with our faith. Amen. These things are actual components of faith. And of course there's love. You know, the Bible says faith working by love. So if you're not leveraging love with faith, you know, your faith is not gonna be that successful anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to be able to manage adversity. We got to be able to manage any level of blessing that God brings us into. We got to be able to manage it to the point that it does not negatively impact our ability to do the will of God, nor does it have a negative impact on our relationship with God in any way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. And let's take a look at a couple of verses there. Prophets, can you read the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 48 for us?
Amen.
42 through 48.
King James Version, and the Lord said, "Who then is it? No, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of the stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more."
Amen. And so verse 48 is the verse that we really want to focus on. It says, "And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes." So that indicates disobedience.
Yeah.
Amen. That indicates disobedience. So the standard for obedience rises once we know the will of God.
Amen.
Once we know, once we've been made aware of what God expects of us, the standard for obedience rises then. Okay. And a lot of times, I think, in our immaturity, again, we consider obedience as being something that is immoral or impure. You know, the sins of immorality, you know, these type of things we consider disobedience. But again, obedience goes beyond that when you take into account the will of God.
Yes.
The standard is going to rise once we've been made aware of what God expects of us. Failure to go through the process of getting into a position to do the will of God must be considered as disobedience.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Failure to even get in position to do it, that has to be considered disobedience because you knew that God expected this of you. And when you go back and look at, again, the man with the one talent, again, in that parable, that's what was told the man. You knew what was expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I knew the master to be a hard man, reaping where he does not sow. And so he knew the expectations of the master, but he did nothing to meet them.
Right.
You know, he did absolutely nothing to meet those expectations. He did absolutely nothing to get into a position. You know, he was just, you know, moving in such a way that he's gonna protect what he had and be able to get that back to God. Amen? And he was not commended at all. So that parable alone should be, you know, the basis for us understanding the fact that God expects more of us than just to be able to come before him and say, God, look, you know, I didn't sin. Just like the rich young ruler, I've been achieving your commandments all my life long.
Yeah.
And I haven't done this, and I haven't done that. You know, I didn't do this, and I didn't smoke, and I didn't drink. You know, I don't cuss, and I don't, you know, all these things you haven't done. But what's going to be required of you, you haven't done. You haven't done the will of God.
Yeah.
You haven't impacted anybody's life by doing the will of God. You haven't even gotten in position to do the will of God. And so a lot of people are going to expect to be commended who are not, because they fail to understand the very character of God when it comes to his will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And you know, the other thing here that's very interesting is that it says, first of all, did not prepare. If you're not even preparing to do the will of God, that's sin.
Yeah.
That's disobedience.
Yeah.
Amen. You're not even preparing. You're not even going through the process of getting into position There's no preparation that's catered to the expectations that God has of you.
Yeah.
You're focused on status quo in your life. You're caught up, and this was one of the other reasons that I started out with Noah. In Noah's day, Noah had to make sure he stayed focused on what God was instructing him to do. Because keep in mind now, everybody else was going about life status quo.
Yeah, having a good time.
They were, amen, having it. They were partying. They were, you know, getting married and doing their business as usual, you know, as if nothing was ever going to happen, that life was going to never change. And Moses has to make sure now that he doesn't get caught up with that crowd, that he has to make sure he focuses on what God expects him to accomplish.
Yeah.
And this alone was the saving grace for he and his family.
Amen.
The Bible talks about in the Hebrews how he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the challenge that a lot of us face in the world, in the workplace. The challenge, the temptation to get caught up into what everybody else is pursuing.
Yes.
Whatever everybody else is after.
Yes.
And trying to, you know, just, you know, maintain a status quo. You know, as the economy changes and things get more challenging, you know, your focus is more on keeping things moving, keeping things at the level that they have always been, more so than doing the will of God.
Yeah.
Amen. That's gonna that doing the will of God is gonna be the saving grace.
Absolutely.
For whatever negative things might happen in the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So failure to prepare to do the will of God must be looked upon as disobedience, especially for those of us who know the will of God. Again, I go back to the servant who was given one talent. It was said to him when he was called given the cap. It was said to him, you knew
mm-hmm.
what the master expected.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically
yeah.
what was said. You knew this. And what did you do?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing based on those expectations that you knew.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Huh. So in closing, you know, just want to make the statement, the fact that God rewards our obedience.
He does.
Amen. Sometimes it's a matter, Prophetess Valerie, of how far we are willing to go.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we can go back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22,
mm-hmm.
you know, to support mm-hmm. that statement.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the extent to which Abraham was willing to go. He was willing to go to the point of placing something, someone he loved, in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Amen. And Genesis 22, verse 15, it says this. It says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. Done what thing? Done the will of God.
Will
you
of
did
God.
What I asked you to do.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
did what I required of you. You have not withheld your only son. He says, in blessing, I will bless you.
Mm-hmm.
You set the stage, Abraham, for a generational blessing.
Yeah.
All because you did the will of God. I want to just encourage, in closing, Prophetess, I just want to encourage some of the listeners tonight, you know, those of us who have challenges in our households, God is expecting you, who know him, to do the will of God. Amen? A lot of times we spend a whole lot of time preaching to the folk who don't know the will of God. And we are the ones who know the will of God, and we are not doing it.
Yeah.
Lord, Jonah is on this boat with heathen. He's the only one who knows the will of God. And he's not doing it. He's causing the whole boat to rock.
My God.
It's not the people on the boat who don't know God.
Yes.
It's the ones who know God.
Yes.
And are not doing the will of God. So I want to encourage some listeners tonight. You know, you're fussing at this one and fussing at that one in your soul. You're the one who knows the will of God.
Yes.
You got to make sure you do it. And you'll do it, and that will be the saving grace. That will be the ark that will save your entire household.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Bless God. That was good. That was good.
Amen.
Listeners, thank you so much for joining us, those in the chat room and those on the phone lines. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know you've been blessed by this word. We encourage that if it has been a blessing to you, share this with others, that they may be impacted in the same way. I do want to thank my sponsor, Martha Clayton, Mary Kay Beauty Consultant, for her continued support. If
Amen.
You want a blessed woman of God to help you empower yourself taking care of your skin, find her. She's on Facebook, Martha Clayton.
Amen. Amen.
As always, every day do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you. Until next time.